What is going on, beautiful people? Welcome in on this fantastic Football Friday on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. Lucas Panzeca making everything happen behind the glass. King John Reed of Fox Sports Knoxville will join us coming up next because we got a lot to discuss about the Vols and the Titans over the next 3 hours today. If you guys want to get involved, we welcome your participation. The number is simple, 615-737-1045, 615-737-1045. So Lucas had the latest news in his update. The one time we actually get the breaking news, up to the minute. On3 Sports is reporting that the Vols quarterback, Hendon Hooker, who left the game against Ole Miss with an injury, is, can you give me the exact wording again? Because this is where I get hung up. What is the exact wording on the report from On3 Sports about Hendon Hooker's availability?
That he is expected to be okay to start against Alabama.
Expected to be okay to start against Alabama. Lucas, what the hell does that mean? Can anybody tell me? What on earth does that? Expected to be okay to start against Alabama.
Not he will start. Not he is back to 100% and active for Saturday. He is expected to be okay to start.
Now, I don't want to be critical of the reporting of On3 Sports. I'm a little confused. What does that mean for his status for Alabama? Does that mean definitively that he is physically able to play on the road in Tuscaloosa?
I think it is a way to report that he will start while having the loophole to get out of it if he does not start and say, well, I didn't say he would start. I said he would be okay to start.
All right. I don't have the patience for this because, frankly, I don't think he should be out there either way.
No.
Honestly, you're going to get your head. You're probably going to get your head caved in by Alabama. I don't mean to, like, kill your excitement out of the gate because we have a lot more time to do, and obviously we'll talk to Reed about it. Because after the Big Orange revival, I don't know how John Reed is singing or what praises he's singing on the mountaintop of East Tennessee this week. But if it comes down to, all right, if you got, what, a hooker who's 60, not a hooker, but a Hendon Hooker.
No, finish your sentence.
No, let's not. We just started having fun with this thing. We can't get canceled yet. If you have a Hendon Hooker, not an Amani Hooker, not another kind of hooker. If you have a Hendon Hooker, that's about 60% of what you might otherwise get. Do you risk him further by putting him out there against the Crimson Tide?
No.
I am not of the belief that Hendon Hooker should play unless he is 100% healthy on Saturday. And even then, I'd be like, yeah, you know what, buddy? Just quick pat on the butt. Take it easy. You know?
You imagine if that's the way he spoke to the team about it. Like, all right, boys, we all know what's going to happen here.
What do you
know? Get out there.
That's one of the most interesting things about what it's like to be a coach. Because we just went through this a couple weeks ago with Mike Vrabel, right? Like, Mike, it's okay if you tell me that you don't feel great about trying to win a game with Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Josh Reynolds, and Cam Batson instead of Julio Jones and AJ Brown. Like, it's okay if you say that out loud. And of course it's not okay if you say that out loud, because then you completely remove yourself from your players in the locker room. But I don't know. You have to be a special kind of a used car salesman to get Tennessee players up for this particular game and try and give them some kind of carrot to say, okay, we're going down to Tuscaloosa, but damn it, the line's 25. We're going to lose by 24. We'll show them. And I don't want to be cynical about Tennessee. I'm just saying this about anybody that would play Alabama after already having had them suffer a loss on the season. Like, nobody's getting in their way now, right?
No.
Nobody on the rest of the schedule. Not until the SEC championship game.
You could see a slip up against Auburn in the Iron Bowl just because that game tends to be tricky for Alabama. For whatever reason, they're almost always better than Auburn in every facet. But no, they're going to torch their way through the schedule, probably through the Iron Bowl and to the SEC championship until they play Georgia.
The Zone TV chat has noticed that I have paparazzi in the back, and Dallas Elfman is asking me if that's my barber.
It's a Luke Worsham sighting.
Because I got my
Bigfoot in the background. He just scampers behind you.
He was so nervous. Now he's shy. Now he's moved away from out of the camera. Yeah, Luke Worsham of A to Z Sports is here documenting the radio show today for posterity. No, I have no idea what he's going to do with this at this point. We will find out. Of course, you can read Luke Worsham at AtoZSports.com. He'll be out at Titans practice covering things today. But Dallas Elfman wants to know, is that my barber sitting behind me? Always have him on tap?
Always on standby.
I didn't realize that I'd had two haircuts this week. I didn't.
Not
even
a thing people do.
I mean, it's a thing that I do. Not every week, but, you
right,
know.
It's a thing you do, but it's not a thing people do.
Well, I mean, listen, it's a big game on Monday night. I wanted a haircut. I didn't want to look like a slob. And they have a big game on Sunday, so I said, hey, I get a haircut. This is what people do. I don't want to look like a homeless person on the sideline. Nothing against our friends in the homeless community, but you know what I'm saying.
Do we put it to a poll? How often do you get a haircut?
What do you want people to hate me more than they already do?
I get a haircut like every 3 months.
All right, very good. Put it on the poll. At Buck Rising is where you can vote on the
Luke,
poll.
Luke, how often do you get a haircut?
Luke's not. What are you doing? We're doing a radio show. Luke's nowhere close to the microphone.
Well, he can just tell you.
No, I'm not talking. Is his microphone on? Turn his microphone on.
It's every 4 weeks.
Every four weeks.
Okay.
All right, it's fine. I am of Middle Eastern descent, and I have a lot more hair than you two. Now, maybe not Lucas because he's Italian. I don't want to get into a hair comparison situation. We're both sons of the Mediterranean at this point. But what I will say, what are you laughing back there? That was a terrible joke by me. What I will say to you is I think it's perfectly acceptable if I want to look good. If I feel and I enjoy getting my hair cut and it's something that I have the time to do, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, especially because the hot towel service makes all the difference in the world. You know how much better a mood I'm in after I get my hair cut for any number of reasons? I'm doing this for you. I'm not even doing this for me.
It is. The hot towel service is lovely, but you going back 4 days after getting one on Monday makes me think that they messed something up on Monday to go back and fix.
Did you notice anything that they messed up on Monday?
No, but I'm not a very perceptive person.
Well, that's very good because you're the executive producer of this show. When we come back, King John Reed of Fox Sports Knoxville will join us, and we will get the temperature of things in East Tennessee. That's on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. It's one of our favorite times of week, if not the favorite time of week. Not just because it's Friday. 10:20 or thereabouts means it's time for the King, John Reed, Fox Sports Knoxville, Talk Sports, the Reed's Ranch podcast is where you can find him. He joins us every Friday. Talk about this week's Vols game. Boss man, what's up?
Buck, always good to talk to you. Lucas, you as well, my friend. How are you?
We are lovely. Before we get into the hardcore X's and O's analysis that we promise the people each and every week, how often is too often? And I know you may not necessarily speak from experience, but how often is too often to get a haircut, Reed?
Okay, why do you mean I might not speak from experience? Is it because I'm bald?
What are you trying to say, bud?
I'll have you know I'm growing my hair out. It's looking pretty good. I mean, honestly, when I had hair, I didn't get cut very often, but I'll be honest, I wish I would have done it more. It seems like something that would be a lot of fun. You know, I like buzzing my hair once every, like, 3 weeks or so. So, I mean, I feel like two a month is pretty fair for, you know, most people. If you got the money to spend, it gets kind of expensive, I hear.
What I have done this week is gone twice in 4 days. So you would say that is excessive.
Yeah, I would say that's a little excessive. Although, you know, a fresh cut confidence is real. I assume one of the days was Monday before Monday Night Football. I saw you looking dapper on the sidelines. It was worth it.
I would say so, too. So is it worth it, Reed, to play Hendon Hooker if he's not 100% right against Alabama on Saturday?
You know, I've been going back and forth on this, you know, on my show, because as fans, you think, okay, just save it, punt the game, it's Alabama, you're not going to win anyways, give Hooker an extra 2 weeks to get healthy because you have a bye week afterwards. But then I was thinking, in that locker room, you're trying to build something, and a part of that is probably trying to instill confidence into your team and have them thinking they can play with anybody. So what kind of message does it send to have Hooker, who, you know, is healthy enough to play if he is, and say, nah, we're good, we're going to punt this game? So I think, especially when you look at the alternative of Harrison Bailey, who, you know, Josh Heupel has been pretty clearly anti-Harrison Bailey from the get-go, and Joe Milton, a guy who, quite frankly, I never want to see play football ever again for Tennessee after he runs out of bounds. with no time left on the clock. Like, that to me was a more egregious play than Jarrett Garantano's quarterback sneak against Alabama a couple years ago where he loses the ball.
That's fair.
Goes rogue. Like, to me, Joe Milton running out of bounds with the game on the line is worse. It's the worst play I've seen in Tennessee quarterback history. To be fair, I never want to see him play again. So, yes, I think you should play Hendon Hooker, because if not, I'm worried about the message it sends to your team in that locker room while you're trying to build something.
No, and I largely agree with that point. So you're alleging that what Joe Milton did at the end of that game, as time expired, running out of bounds, it was so funny, Reed, to listen to the way that Lucas described it, because he left as they started throwing trash, and apparently once he discovered, or the people he was around discovered, that Tennessee had the ball back with about 34 seconds left, they all crowded around the phone screen just to watch Joe Milton scamper out of bounds with zeros on the clock.
Hold on. Lucas, you left?
Listen.
Coward!
We're sitting there for 15 minutes with trash raining down on the field. We walked out of there. We walked out of there with 54 seconds left on the clock, Tennessee with three timeouts, and we watched the end of the game huddled around an iPhone outside of the stadium on Ped Walkway.
You know I love you, but you are a coward.
Yes.
Like Buck said, that is pitiful.
Yes.
I've lost so much respect for you. Were you cold? I will admit, it did get a little cold after everybody left.
No, and I won't be good to stay. But, you know, you're with a group, and everybody says, let's go. I didn't want to be in that stadium by myself. So you walk out.
Three timeouts. You knew Ole Miss was going to be conservative because Corral was hurt, and you left. I'm so disappointed in you now. Buck, what were we talking about? What was the question? I don't want to talk to Lucas anymore.
No, I agree with that. I think that we should banish him back into the shadows for the remainder of time. But what I will say to you is that for Joe Milton, there has been no sign of growth with him. Again, I figured that he was going to be the same kind of player that he was at Michigan, if not in a different system. So how can they find ways, Reed, to mitigate him and his inability or his lack of awareness if Tyon Evans isn't 100%? Do they expect him to play this week?
What I hear is more likely not to play with the ankle, because he still isn't all the way healthy. And it's not like the quarterback position. You do have some guys that can fill in that you feel pretty comfortable with. So I don't think Evans will play. But how do you mitigate Joe Milton? You put him on the bench and never play him again. Like, again, Buck, I can't overstate. It was the worst play a Tennessee quarterback has ever made. And that includes whatever Nathan Peterman did in the swamp in 2013. Joe Milton's was worse. Joe Milton's was worse. The hell was that?
What? Lucas, we're trying to do a radio show. Stop it.
I didn't mean to derail you, John.
He's just firing off sounders.
He's trying to
regain your attention. He's trying to regain your love because he feels the disappointment weighing heavily on him. So
first
now
all,
he's trying to emphasize your abilities
I
on the
I just stumbled on a video from our friend Russell Smith, John, of the stadium during that last play, and it was almost completely empty. I will not take the blame for leaving and not sitting through a 40-minute delay.
Well, notice Russell was still there. I thought that sound was like eastbound and down. Kenny's cutting in. I thought you were getting ready to go and like challenge me to a verbal duel or something.
I was
but
saying
either way,
you are correct. That was the correct sounder that we have for saying that was the worst play in Tennessee history by a quarterback.
I gotcha. Ding, ding, ding. Bell rings. I got it. It was the worst play, and I never want to see Joe Milton again. And really, you know, I would rather just hand the ball off or run shotgun with a Wildcat and just play that for 60 minutes rather than see Joe Milton ever again.
At @John_Reed is where you can follow our guest, John Reed of Fox Sports Knoxville. We're talking about the Vols and Alabama. I guess, Reed, what are you looking for them to – what are you looking to see from them? I know Lucas tried to get out of this game. He had a Chris Stapleton concert scheduled, and now Chris Stapleton has laryngitis, so he's going to be forced to watch this like the rest of us. What are you looking to take away from this Alabama game after the fact?
Laryngitis, huh? You would think some Tennessee whiskey would have cleared that right up. Am I right, Lucas?
Boo.
what are my takeaways? I mean, Buck, this is one of these games where you just want to see them play hard. No moral victories, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But just be in the game and look competent. Get the offense back on track because, let's face it, the offense was pretty disappointing on, you know, last Saturday against Ole Miss. I will say around in Knoxville, there is some optimism about the offensive line getting healthier for the last quarter of the season because, you know, after this you get to a bye week, then you start focusing on beating Kentucky, and that could, you know, turn your season from a solid, you know, from an average one to a really good one if you're able to get to 7-5 and beat Kentucky. So with this Alabama game, just play hard, look competent, run some good plays, maybe throw some slants across the middle against Henry Toa, just throw it across there, get him looking lost, at least give the fans something. But no, there's not a lot to gain in terms of winning this game.
Are you harboring resentment for Henry Toa?
No, he did what he had to do. I mean, I think he is very, you know, vulnerable in the middle of the field against the slant. I think you saw that all last year at Tennessee, and I think you saw Florida expose him in that, you know, when they played that game so close. So Tennessee fans, by and large, do hold resentment towards him. I don't. Do what you got to do. Go get your money. I understand that. But, you know, just pop the crowd a couple times, throw some across the middle, get him looking lost. That'd make Tennessee fans pretty happy, I would say.
So, in their next three, and we'll obviously talk to you over the course of the season. Wait, are we giving John Reed the bye week off, by the way? Should we do that for Reed?
Do you want the bye week off?
Do you want the bye week off, Reed?
No, let's just talk about, like, movies or the Titans or something else. I mean, okay. Unless you don't need me, it's fine. We can do basketball. We can do it. I can take a bye week. It's fine.
It is almost basketball season.
It is basketball season as far as the NBA concerned and the Atlanta Hawks. I'm sure we can get a weekly Hawks update from Reed. Best case scenario, given their next three opponents, 1-2.
So what? Alabama, Kentucky, and Georgia. Yeah, 1-2 would be, everyone would lock that in, obviously.
I don't know what to make of Kentucky. I know that everybody looks like the way that Kentucky looked against Georgia on Saturday. I think that every player on the defensive side of the ball for Georgia right now might have a draftable grade. But what do you make of what Kentucky's done? Do you have any respect for them at this point?
No, I've had a lot of respect for Kentucky all year. I mean, I think they're a very, you know, poor man's version of what Georgia tries to do. And I don't even really mean that as an insult. It's just, you know, Georgia is very, very rich and very, very wealthy. And Kentucky's trying their best to imitate it by playing a boring style of offense and a, you know, pretty good dominant front seven defense. So I respect what Kentucky's done. I do think Tennessee, you know, if they can hit some plays offensively, they could put Kentucky in a bad position where they have to try to score a bunch of points. And, you know, I do think that could behoove Tennessee and their chances of winning that game. I think Kentucky is very beatable. But I do respect them. They're a good team. And it would be considered a big quality win for Josh Heupel and them if they can beat him. You know, beat Kentucky in a couple weeks.
How hard did you troll Bills fans after the Titans beat the Bills on Monday Night Football with John Reed in the house?
I got to be honest. That was probably the most I've ever done it. I don't know what came over me. I just kept screaming. I just kept screaming at them after he left the stadium that, you know, the Titans don't have Davis Mills. We don't have Jacoby Brissett. You know, like, it's just, we had to hear all, you know, all week that the Bills had the number one defense. And I was just like, guys, I mean, look at who you played. You lost to the Steelers, for God's sake. You lost to Big Ben at home. I'm just not ready to crown the Bills. But all week long, you just had to hear about how great they were, and I just had to let them know, you know, and enjoy their trip back to Buffalo, and that 42-16 last year wasn't a fluke. We're just better than them, head-to-head.
And it did bear itself out that way. John Reed, Fox Sports Knoxville. They did not seem happy, mostly because they had to be just have a righteous hangover. All they did was get drunk for 3 days in our city, which we appreciate their commerce, but also go back to the frozen north from whence you came. John Reed, Fox Sports Knoxville, our guest. Talk Sports is where you can listen to him. Also, the Reed's Ranch podcast. At @John_Reed is where you can follow him. Appreciate you, boss.
Love you both.
See ya. Wait, does every guest and every caller, do we have this relationship to where we say I love you now?
I think he's the only one. Or who?
Well, that's not true. We've had Scott and Beth Page.
That's right, Scott.
We've had John Reed. We've had Will Compton. Made me deeply uncomfortable, the level of male intimacy around.
Does Compton say he loves you on the way out?
He literally did it. I think he heard it, and now he's doing it on purpose because he knows it makes me squirm. I don't know how I feel about it, regardless.
Wholesome. That's a good point by John Reed, that the Joe Milton versus the Garantano going rogue.
Being the worst play?
Yeah.
Joe Milton being worse than that?
What was worse?
At Buck Rising. You may do that if you're so inclined. From my Twitter account, Lucas. Yeah, I mean, the Joe Milton thing, because I know, and I was listening to 3HL earlier this week talk about it, because I think Brent and Slay were at the game. And so, from their perspective, they were watching Joe Milton at various points because it was clear that Hendon Hooker was dealing something as that dealing with something as that game wore on. And so you felt at various points before he ended up having to go in that you might see Joe Milton at some point against Ole Miss on Saturday night. And so they were watching him and they kept making comments about, yeah, he's not even paying attention to what's happening on the field. And I don't know how I feel about that as a criticism. It's because you don't know what's going on. Now, he can look like he's just kind of hanging out on the sidelines and him actually be dialed into what's going on. But then you couple that with just horrendous, inexcusable. And we're not in the business of crushing college kids for decisions that we might do if they were professionals, even though college is trending more and more professional every day. I don't think that's the right thing to do. But what he did at the end of the game is, of all of the possible situations, of all of the things that you could have done, I mean, it probably starts with not taking off with the football like you're going to run it in. I think that's kind of where it has to start, because he was like 15 yards out. He wasn't making that.
It was on the 20.
So it starts from there, yeah. Right?
And people act like the Garantano going rogue is why Tennessee lost to Alabama. If Tennessee had punched that in, it would have made it an 8-point game either at the end of the third quarter or beginning of the fourth quarter. And Alabama still with the lead. So I understand it would have made it a one-possession game, but let's not act like that lost Tennessee the game there when Alabama still had an 8-point lead at home with the whole quarter to go. Joe Milton had one play to beat the number 13 team in the country down 5, and that's what he did. I 100% think it's worse.
Ron Slay has already responded to the poll about which is the worst quarterback play. He just says this is a good one, LOL. I think we may have hit a nerve. I don't trust him. You know, I didn't, and maybe this is preseason bias that's weighing in on this, because this is not I was right and you were wrong situation, because we've had this conversation before, right? Ever since Joe Milton was at Michigan, I have this image or this perception of what I perceive Joe Milton to be, which is struggling with accuracy, check, which is lacking situational awareness, check, physically talented, and overwhelming as far as his arm ability is concerned, check, check, but not good enough to win you games. Because against Pittsburgh, you cannot afford to give up 21 points worth of layups. You don't got that margin for error. Against Alabama, I mean, is Nick Saban not licking his chops at the potential for his defense that hasn't been overwhelmingly great? They're still good. They're only allowing 20.1 points per game right now for their opponents against the Crimson Tide. But are you not looking at a quarterback like Joe Milton and be like, oh, this guy is going to give us every opportunity in the world to take advantage of his mistakes? Maybe it doesn't materialize itself in turnovers, because that wasn't the problem. Turning the ball over wasn't the issue. It's just the fact that hit with him at quarterback, that the offense was so much more rapidly and so much more frequently going 3 and out when you're already running that risk, running the kind of tempo offense that you do. That's kind of my larger concern about Joe Milton by any stretch of the imagination. And I completely understand why Vols fans and why John Reed and why Lucas and why Ron Slay and everybody else would not want to see Joe Milton take another snap. But are you gonna put Harrison Bailey out there? They're not going to do that. What else? I mean, does Joe Milton is still the backup to Hendon Hooker. But it comes back to that conversation about Hendon Hooker. I really don't feel comfortable putting him out there in a game that you have almost 0.000% chance to win.
Well, amazing we're even having this conversation, because the way he was helped off the field, you never want to speculate. But when you looked at that, you said, okay,
I thought he was done.
Yeah, that might be done for the season. He couldn't put any weight on his right leg.
I thought he was straight up done. So, with that being said, and potentially without Tyon Evans, which it seems things are trending towards for the second straight week, your bye week approaching, a critical game against Kentucky, not just for the sake of SEC East standing, but for, you know, optics and the future of the program and the ability to stack consistent games and consistent performances up on top of each other. I would opt for Hendon Hooker to get right and ride the pine in Tuscaloosa this weekend. But I understand what you're saying, or what Reed was saying, about not wanting to send the wrong message to your football team. Because this is kind of what's happening with Dan Mullen right now, right? Is anybody paying attention to what's happening at the University of Florida? Where boosters are threatening, I don't know what kind of action. I don't know what's going to happen to Dan Mullen.
There is unrest.
But if they don't, which is delightful, because I shouldn't root against Dan Mullen. I have no ill will towards Dan Mullen, but something about him just pisses me off. I don't know what it is. I think he's just got a bit of an ego, which, and normally I love the ego in sports, but ego looks different when it's wearing a Darth Vader mask in a post-game press conference. But they are having the same conversation about the backup quarterback is Anthony Richardson for Florida, correct? Do I have that right, Lucas?
Yes, and they've been clamoring for him to get snaps, which he did against LSU. And, I mean, he hasn't been the dynamic guy that they thought he would be. I mean, they've been clamoring for him to have the job, Florida fans have, since that Alabama game.
Lebowski says he roots against Dan Mullen and his open mouth kissing player's wife. So there is that. That is always an interesting photo op every time you see that. But for Dan Mullen, this is spiraling for him already. And it's not just about keeping control of his situation, but exterior forces are putting pressure on him with how he wants to coach the football team. So the situation is being almost taken, and it's unfair to Dan Mullen. I think Dan Mullen, I would argue that Dan Mullen, even up against Lane Kiffin and somebody like Josh Heupel, I would argue that Dan Mullen is the best offensive coach and in-game offensive coach in the SEC. He may be the best offensive in-game coach in college football right now. His inconsistencies are what plague him, and his personality makes him easier to root against. But right now, Dan Mullen's getting a raw deal because he's getting pressure from boosters about what quarterback he should start on Saturday. And that is not a place that you want to exist. Now, they have, what, 3 losses on the season already? So Florida's year is done, outside of trying to be bowl eligible. But you have this very, very unique and delicate ecosystem in the world of high-level college football, SEC, Power 5, big-time college football, that if you make the wrong decision, not only do you jeopardize losing your locker room or creating a rift between your staff and your players and your message in your players, but you also have this pressure coming in from the outside, or rather from the inside, for people who fund everything that happens at the University of Florida from an athletic standpoint. You have these people putting these pressures on you that can cause you to make decisions that have lasting effects on your football team. This is why it can be so toxic in the world. This is why Texas can't get right. Because Texas, boosters,
Moody Moses.
This is why Texas has the problems that it does. Because Texas boosters have more money than they know what to do with. And, I mean, is there that much, do you notice that much of a difference in Texas this year as opposed to under Tom Herman? I don't think so. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Scott in Bethpage, who wants to talk about Bama Week. What's up, Scott?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for throwing all the love my way. You know how much what the word love means to me.
I love you, Scott.
You were 1,000% right at the beginning of the season. I actually thought with what they were saying about Milton and all the hype they were giving that, man, we had somebody that could compete against these more aggressive defenses, you know, like a Bama and a Georgia and even a Kentucky. You didn't want to see him on the field before the season even started. So for that, I have to put 2 hands together and bow my head to you. Second of all, if Hooker's 100%, which he's not, I think the game is going to be a fun game to watch for about 2.5 quarters. And then it's just the talent's going to take over. And, you know, I got to thank Lebowski. I love that name. And so what I've done, I've bought a puppy and named him Little Lebowski. But for some reason, I take him to Walmart with me. You know, he's kind of like a service dog type deal. I'm wanting him to become. And for some reason, I take him to Walmart and I cannot keep him out of the tea bag, y'all. As always, I love you both. But I'm telling you, You shouldn't have left that game. You should have stayed right there with me.
Coward!
I'm coming after you. If I see you and ever figure out what you look like, I'm coming after you.
Oh, my God.
That just turned from I love you to personal threats.
Oh, great show.
Thank you, Scott. SEC stat of the day.
Conflicted feelings.
That's next. SEC stat of the week. It's what we do every Friday at about this time. Now, when I called Lucas this morning, he didn't have one yet. So we'll see how he's performed under pressure. We do this each and every week ahead of the SEC slate. Now, it's not a great one as far as college football is concerned this weekend. I mean, you have Tennessee, Alabama on Saturday night. You have some intriguing games across the Big Ten, really nothing in the SEC. There's a lot of teams on bye week. I mean, my alma mater, Indiana, is hosting number 5 Ohio State this weekend. The Hoosiers stink, so there's nothing really appealing.
No upset alert.
Although Urban Meyer's first year at Ohio State, when they, I don't think they could even be bowl eligible.
Because they went undefeated.
Indiana lost by a field goal. It was something like 50-47. It was a ridiculous game that I didn't watch because I was drunk in the tailgate lots. What are you going to do? But outside of that, I mean, what am I looking at? Mississippi State at Vandy? Washington at Arizona do anything for you? Illinois at Purdue? Northwestern at Michigan? There's just nothing here. Now, Cincinnati, I mean, maybe Wisconsin-Purdue, but Wisconsin is so bad this year.
They're hard to watch.
They are tough. And I think that Ole Miss is probably going to blow out LSU at this point in the Ed Orgeron revenge game. Actually, sneaky good is UCLA-Oregon, because we'll talk about sneaky good football games later on in the show between, because the NFL slate this weekend is not great either. In fact, Titans-Chiefs is the best game on the board, I think, by a wide margin. I know that what's Sunday Night Football this week? Do you have any idea? Let me see if I can find that out. But, like, outside of Titans-Chiefs, you have Bears at Bucks. That don't really do much for me, other than if we're going to get another Tom Brady holding up four fingers because he thinks it's fourth down when he's just throwing a pass on fourth down.
Yeah, they were talking about that on Get Up this morning. Yeah. Colts 49ers Sunday Night Football. So, I got some AFC South in there. And Monday night is Saints Seahawks.
I kind of like the Colts in that game. And I don't know why, which is terrible analysis. What's the SEC stat of the day?
So Tennessee obviously has been running the football really well this season. They're third in the SEC, 249 rush yards per game. The SEC stat of the day is that each of Tennessee's next three opponents on the schedule rank in the top four in the SEC in rush defense. Now, I'm going to let you guess the order. Next three opponents are Alabama, Georgia, and Kentucky, I believe in that order.
Alabama, Kentucky, Georgia, in that order. At Alabama, at Kentucky, hosting
Georgia. So what is the order of rush defense between those three?
Of those three, I would say Georgia won.
Yes, all three are in the top four of rush defense in the league.
I would say Georgia, of those three, Georgia won, Kentucky 2, Alabama 3?
No, it's Georgia 1, Alabama 2. Kentucky is fourth in the SEC in rush defense. Who do you think is third?
Tennessee.
Mississippi State.
They're awful.
Allowing 107 rush yards per game. Georgia is allowing 62 rush yards per game. And I feel like the stat of the day has just turned into whatever ridiculous Georgia defensive stat there is, but I've never seen stats like this at this point in the season.
You know, I know that I think 3HL had Danny Cannell on a couple of weeks ago, and he said legendary as far as this Georgia defense was concerned. And I'm like, okay, not hot take, but like you're playing it up a little bit, right? And then I watch them every week, and I'm like, oh, no, the Clemson game isn't just because Clemson has a super stinky offense at the start of the year. Like, this is a defense that is among the best in college football history.
They smother you. They stifle you.
When I make the joke about thinking that every Georgia defensive starter has a draftable grade, I'm not necessarily making a joke. That's a thing that's being talked about by NFL personnel people. It's why John Robinson is standing on the sidelines of Georgia at Vanderbilt, because he's there to watch all of the Georgia players.
No offense to Vanderbilt.
Well, God knows you can't find a quarterback in this year's draft. So if you like defense, This is the one for you, which turns out for the Titans, they probably use a couple more corners even after they thought that they addressed that. We'll spend some time on corner trades later today as well.
Well, Tennessee's been able to run the ball really well. They had 222 rush yards against Ole Miss, which I was surprised when I saw that number because it felt like they got behind the sticks pretty often on first down in the run game. But that's really going to be tested over these next three games. Alabama allows 93 rush yards per game.
Man, and without Tyon Evans, what do you bet here? Because I was putting together my college football bets for the weekend while I was sitting in the barber chair this morning. And I could not, the line for Tennessee has held consistently, at least in my DraftKings Sportsbook app, it's held consistently at plus 25. I want to bet Alabama in that spot, but they rarely cover those 20-plus point spreads. So I don't know.
They did last week, that's for sure.
Well, again, the week after a loss, I think anybody would have assumed it's 24.5, so the line has gone down in favor of Tennessee. 24.5 right now at this point, the day before Tennessee travels to Tuscaloosa for a night game. Over under is 68.5 at this point. I would say to you that I really do think it's going to be a struggle for Tennessee to cover in this game. I think with all of the mitigating factors on top of the fact that it's Alabama, and it's not like Alabama's offense this year is weird because it is overwhelming, but I don't think Bryce Young is the reason why. Is it controversial for me to say that? Because he's the co-Heisman favorite with Corral at this point. But does Bryce Young do things that blow you away? I mean, he's not Tua. He's not Jalen Hurts even, it seems to me. Like, he is clearly of above-average ability among college quarterbacks. But I'm looking at him more in the same light of former Alabama quarterbacks that are just managing one of the better offenses, if not the best offense in the sport. Am I reading that incorrectly?
Yeah, I mean, they're throwing the ball better than almost anybody. Really, statistically, Mississippi State is the only team above them, and that's because of the air raid. They're not as balanced as they have been. Brian Robinson is a really good back, and he's come up big in a lot of moments, but I don't think they're as balanced as Nick Saban would like. And it's last year, when you looked at their receiving core, really the last 4-plus years, it was overwhelmingly insane. I don't think it's overwhelmingly insane anymore. It's just really, really good.
Yeah.
As far as the receivers go and other skill positions.
Nick Saban has a type, by the way. All of those receivers remind me of Amari Cooper. Now, Amari Cooper might be the best of them, but they all physically, stature-wise, height, weight, size, speed, they all look very much the same now. Nick Saban has a wide receiver.
Well, there was that Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith little core.
Yeah. Digit little core.
Yeah. Most of them are pretty little.
First-round draft picks.
Well, Ruggs and Waddle and Judy were kind of little, but my goodness.
When we come back, we're going to get into some conversations about the Tennessee Titans and how they are winning football games, or at least one big part of how they're winning football games. It's coming on the back of one of their most impactful players of the season. Except this one's not Derrick Henry. This guy plays on defense. I'll tell you who that is coming up next and give you some insane numbers on this particular Titans defensive player on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.